But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. For a few moments, saints, we'd like to consider this in mind. It's a long theme, but it's worth the effort. Take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. Take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. We're in times now where uncertainty is not good enough. There's always something that occurs that can pull the rug out from under folks. And we are some of the folks, because we are citizens still in this world and of the United States of America. So there are decisions that are made that impact the lives of those of us who are in this country. Now, of course, I'm not being exclusive. People around the world have their own particular things that impact them and cause them concern and even consternation, because just a matter of not just what is done, but how it's done. Ain't that right? Things that on a scale that sometimes are seen nationally, but then when it comes down to it, things that other people do can find themselves in your house. Ain't that right? Amen. With all this going on, folks are looking at or hearing news and hollering at the TV. Amen. Keeping the Secret Service up at night. But it's something that I guess sometimes it causes the angst to increase, because it's like you want to do something about it, but you can't. And then it starts to worm its way into your system. Amen. And then you can find yourself worrying. I mean, just recently, they had a thing where you thought you was getting something back. But it was held back. You're trying to make a comeback. Because that was earmarked. And it's things like that can... You know, have some folks living, it's not just hand to mouth, but it's also just the very issue of that's one more thing. Considering the fact that we seem to be living in a uncertain world, and the collateral damage is not just economically, but even because these things that impact your thinking and your life can even affect your health. Are you with me here? Worry can affect your health. It's not just your mind. You can't get this stuff out by Excedrin. You know, you can't. Excedrin ain't gonna do it. Because after a while, people start to do things that will allow, it only anesthetizes it. That means it makes it feel like you don't feel it, but it didn't go away. Y'all follow me here? Yeah. You have to be careful, because you folks be taking stuff, self-medicating. And I'm not talking about medicine in general. I'm not telling you not take your medicine. I mean, when you seek to do things to undo, but some of these things are not made for that. They're not made to, I'm not no doctor and I ain't trying to be one. I'm a preacher, but I got a Bible. And the scripture says there's certain things that come and happen with us that impact not just our health and physically, intellectually and mentally, but it even affects us spiritually. Amen. Because it can cause us to begin to think about life in a manner that is not in the way in which God wants us to. Amen. And since God is ultimately the one who I seek to please, then he's the one I want to know what to do that. And if God, we just finished singing a song there, a hymn. Amen. Some of us close it up after the third lyric. Amen. Because maybe you wasn't feeling it, but it says you're standing on the promises. Yes, sir. It said you're standing on the promises. It said you're standing on the promises. Amen. And so, that's why we was asked to read some of these scriptures. And I know some folks, amen, you think you need Dr. Scholes because you've been standing on the promises. Ain't nothing happening. But you gotta stay in there. Ain't that right? But the Lord Jesus, he's a life coach. You know, they got this, that today they got different folks again who have this occupation, you know, whereby they sort of try to walk you through certain vicissitudes of life, you know, in certain areas. But the Lord Jesus was a life coach because he is life. And he knows more or better than anyone how life works and how life affects you. And he also knows what we should do in order for life to be our partner and assist us in a healthy relationship, both vertically and horizontally. And so in this, what we call the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew, this book, so to speak, was written as one of the gospel writers. In other words, this book was written with a certain Jewish bent to it. I mean, you know, Christians are certainly something we should read because it's a life of Christ in here. But it speaks about the kingdom of God. And sometimes you'll see the synonymous term, the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes it's speaking about the same thing, but other times the kingdom of God has its own particular import when you talk about it. Are you with me here? And so when the Lord Jesus is talking here from chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, at the end of that, you see the impact it had on those who were listening. Said the people were marveled at him because he spoke of one who had authority. Amen. He wasn't making stuff up. He wasn't repeating. He wasn't downloading somebody else's messages. But, amen, he was talking again with power. He wasn't even just replicating the Ten Commandments. But he spoke not only, he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, he came to speak towards not only what God had said, but to give people to understand the spirit of what was being said. Because the Pharisees and them had juked up the law and messed up God's word to suit their own, again, religious disposition because they couldn't keep it anyway. They wouldn't want to look bad to the people, so they made stuff up to go along with it. And the Lord Jesus told them, you have, by virtue of doing that, you have nullified the word of God. But Christ in from Matthew chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, in terms of this teaching, and we call it the Sermon on the Mount, but really he's teaching. Most of the things the Lord Jesus did was teach. He would gather people around him, no matter what the circle was, whether just the disciples or masses of folks, he would teach them, he would instruct them. And so he would give them to understand things from God's perspective with an earthly import to it. Hey, are you with me here? Because I know you're saved, but you ain't in heaven yet. You're a citizen of heaven, but you still got an address down here. Heaven is eternal, but you still have a transitory relationship with the times in which you live. And so until Jesus come, we still got to keep living like we're supposed to until the trumpet sound. Ain't that right? And so in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, and when we get there, and we're there now, it's a way in which the Lord, he leads into what we had read already. As I was looking at this, he starts to talk about our relationship and our attitude towards physical things and material things. And he began to get us to understand how we relate temporally, how we live on earth with the eternal destiny that we're going to have. That what we do and how we live in this life has altogether what you might receive in the life to come. You don't go to heaven because you live right. You live right because you have a relationship with Christ. However, there is such a thing as eternal rewards. That means when you get to heaven, if you get there, if you believe in Christ, you're going to get there. And when you get there, all the time that you put in this world since you got saved will be weighed in the balance. So right now, brothers and sisters, you go back to when you truly believed in Christ. I'm not talking about when you joined the church, but when you truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you know for sure you got saved. Everybody don't have the day, but you should know whether you saved or not. And he's going to judge our works done in the body. From the time that we got saved to the time he take you home or when the trumpet sound, he's going to have a graduation ceremony. Amen. Now, everybody's going to get a diploma, but everybody ain't going to get a job. What I mean by that is that there are degrees or determinations of rewards that are eternally given to the believers when they get to heaven. Everybody who put their faith in Christ, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, not just membership. And you can't join the church and be saved. You got to be saved and then join the church. Are y'all with me here? So what does it got to do with anything? It has to do because what he's talking about here, he's talking because things affect us as believers. And when our values become the values of the world, then that shows God that we don't value his kingdom. Amen. Because God said there's no trade-off. There's a time when God is either me or that.
Y'all ain't hear me.
God don't compromise. No, he don't compromise. You know why? Because God knows his stuff is better.
Y'all ain't listen to anybody. Anybody listen to me? Y'all know y'all are, but that's why the folks you don't see, and that's why they ain't come today, because they wouldn't listen.
Yeah, but no, God said, what I have lasts. What I have works. And what you go after when it's what I have, it pleases me. Because God said, when you go after what I have, then when you do that, then I'll take care of what you have and don't have. But if you flip the script, you lose out on all of it. And so in this time of teaching Christ in verse 19, I'm not going through all of this, but it just struck me because of the way the Lord Jesus starts to give us to prioritize our earthly existence as his people. Again, he's talking here and he's giving them to know again, and these folks not necessarily were all saved. No. He's talking about principles of kingdom living. Amen. Are you with me here? Are y'all following me here? See, listen, because we use the expression heaven all the time. But see, God's word talks about the kingdom of God. Are y'all following me? And you who are saved, you are already a part of the kingdom of God. You're not trying to get in it, you're in it. And are you with me here? He told Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you can't see or enter the kingdom of God. And there is an aspect where the kingdom of God is a earthly rule of Christ. But also, because you're saved, we are already partakers spiritually of God's kingdom. Unfortunately, some of the folks you listen to have you running after stuff that does not have a priority with God. They're trying to get you to usurp the things that God promised. We just said, stand on the promises of God. Well, you better know what he promised you. Because you can't stand on something that don't belong to you. Ain't that right? You will be evicted. Because God said, that's for these people. And the other things that I'm going to give you. And since we belong to Jesus, we are joint heirs with Christ. It can't get no better than that.